You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is 95.7 The Game.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. It is upon us. Week one, the official start of the National Football League. Don't worry about that Thursday game. Nobody paid attention to that one. It officially starts on a Sunday. Sunday, the Lord's Day, and also known as NFL Sunday. Welcome in, everybody. 95.7 The Game. Jim Cosimore, Whitey Gleason with you for the next 2 hours. We'll tee it up, Whitey, and get us started on the National Football League. I know you're excited. You've got your eye black on. You're padded up. I taped your ankles before the show. How ready are you?
Also, thanks for taping my injured groin. I appreciate that, Coz.
That wasn't taped.
Happy opening day. Opening day in the NFL, obviously now the most significant and relevant opening day in all of sports. There's no question. I know baseball
Wait
fans.
Wait a minute now. Now you're going to start a bar fight.
Watercolored memories of the way they were. But it's all about the NFL because the games matter. Isn't it amazing how different the NFL looks today compared to a year ago? Isn't it amazing how different the NFL looks compared to how it looked a week ago?
Maybe even 24 hours and 8 minutes ago. It was 8:56 yesterday morning as I was standing in the almost exact same spot preparing to do a show with John Dickinson when news came down from the Rays. Now, I didn't get a paper today. I normally get the Chronicle, the Sporting Green, so I'm going to use yesterday's paper. And from the Sporting Green, all I know is this. Antonio Brown makes up with Raiders, will play Monday. Is the headline of the little corner of the newspaper from the Sporting Green yesterday. And then at 8:56 a.m., we find out that the Raiders have released Antonio Brown. And about 6 to 8 hours later, he had a new team, Whitey Gleason.
Right.
What
right.
is going on in the National Football League?
I think it's fascinating that when everything was starting to fall apart in Oakland, I could have sworn that I could hear Coach Tomlin cackling in the background.
Oh, yeah.
But then that cackling stopped when Antonio Brown became a New England Patriot. How reminiscent is this to you of Randy Moss from the Raiders?
Yeah, this is a little too eerie. In fact, so much so, this one reeks of an inside job.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it? I mean, if
launch
you're
an investigation.
How do you not launch an investigation? If you're the Raiders, aren't you calling Roger Goodell and saying, listen, everybody, we're going off to Vegas. I get it. But, man, that one just stinks to high heaven. They orchestrated this from the inside with Antonio Brown, and the Patriots just sitting there. They got a contract deal done in 4 or 6 hours, Whitey?
Yeah. They were interested in acquiring Antonio Brown before the Raiders did. And they were told by the Steelers, no, you're not getting Antonio Brown. Really? Okay. Well, thanks. We'll just go over here then and wait. So at what point? I'll buy into your conspiracy theory. At what point do you think this became Antonio Brown's objective, or would you suggest it was his objective all along?
I would suggest that maybe this was something that went on all along. I would suggest that maybe this was something that was orchestrated from the very beginning, and somehow there are some tentacles that would reach all the way back to New England for this.
Some Belichickian tentacles?
And I'm not anti-Patriots guy. Like, some people are just anti-Patriots. They hate Robert Kraft. They hate Belichick.
Oh, you should try it. It's a lot of fun.
I do not. I'm not anti those guys at all. But this one's
on to Cincinnati.
No, we're not on to Cincinnati. I'm going to keep sucking on this one for a long time, I'll tell you. And I hope something gets done at the highest of levels. We've got a lot of things to get to in the next 2 hours, Whitey, including our guy, JD, super reporter John Dickinson, who is down in Tampa Bay right now. Now, I do know that he is, at this time, it's still pretty hot. It's expected to be upwards of 90 degrees at kickoff today. John is currently poolside with baby oil.
Really?
Yes. So
yeah.
At 9:30, he will check in.
Now,
we'll find out.
You mean he's covered with baby oil, or is baby oil
a friend of his?
Yeah.
Someone he met
right.
last night, baby
yeah.
oil. I'll tell you something. If that's the case, he's won the lottery. Good on you, JD. So we'll check in with John Dickinson at 9:30 our time this morning as he is in Tampa Bay for the 49ers opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Whitey, I can't help but think that for 49er fans, they look at the schedule and they look at week one in Tampa Bay and they circle it and say that's a win. And if we're doing this show as the home of the Buccaneers, I can't help but think we look at the schedule and see the 49ers and we circle the game as a win for the Buccaneers.
I've had a hard time finding members of the national media who are picking the 49ers for what that's worth. You know, in Tampa, it used to be about the Tampa 2, right? Tony Dungy's defense had helped Tampa eventually win a Super Bowl. Yeah, the old Tampa 2.
It helped them lose a Super Bowl.
Yeah, today it's about the Tampa flu. You got Devin White, linebacker, and Mike Evans, wide receiver, both questionable as a flu bug rampaging through the Tampa Bay locker room.
Yes. So that actually could be a big – that could have a big effect on this thing, because when you're talking about the heat and humidity that's going on, and we had a guy on from Tampa yesterday, a talk show host from Tampa yesterday, who said the heat index could be near 110. You've got the flu bug, you're losing liquids to begin with.
Right.
You're playing in a buck 10 because of the heat index, the 90-degree temperatures and the humidity. That could bode well for the 49ers. Of all things, the home team could be at the disadvantage today. And I got another thing for you. Because you're wearing your 49er colors right now, and that shirt is kind of a 49er color.
Sure.
I'm feeling pretty good about the 49ers
at
the start of the season.
Yeah.
I really am feeling pretty good about this team. And it just came upon me over the last 3 days.
I got to tell you, initially, I questioned your decision here. I know that the 49ers have been working out with a humidity tent to prepare for the conditions. And I know you.
Is that like hotboxing? What the kids are doing nowadays?
Sure,
they're hotboxing.
Sure. And you insisted that in preparation for the show, we do all our prep in the humidity tent,
yes.
Which I thought at the time was ridiculous, but I feel refreshed and ready. So good call.
I will tell you this. I am a big fan of the steam shower and have had two in homes in the past, and I'm looking for a way to put another one in. And I think I could get through a 60-minute football game because of my expertise in the steam room. Big steam room guy. Love the steam.
I'm going to be quiet and hope we just kind of gently move on to something else.
We will take a look at all the games in the National Football League today. Between now and kickoff, which is 10 o'clock, I'm going to need some help with my fantasy lineup, so I might just bring that up at some point.
I couldn't believe it today. I felt like I really got a glimpse behind the curtain as you came in and you said hi, and then you're on the phone with somebody, presumably your fantasy football GM, and I hear you. You know, these are high-stakes conversations here. You're talking about, I don't know, Jameis or Matt Ryan. It was fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating.
That's what we do in the Cozumel household. We try to figure out who's going to be on whose lineup. My wife is in a league. I'm in a league. I'm not very good at this, but I do it for the camaraderie. I do it for the friendship, you know?
No, you don't.
Everyone
says that, but nobody does it for the friendship or the camaraderie. You want to win!
Yeah, I actually do it for the friendship and camaraderie. There are some guys in my league that are, they will cut your hamstring to take you down.
I was wondering where you were going to go. Then.
I know, exactly.
I feel like I'm off easy with the hamstring.
We will go over other things in the National Football League and what's happening, but I am excited about the start of this. Here's one of the things I want to watch for today, and all of the activity going on, is today's week one of National Football League play. No matter if it's the 49ers and the Buccaneers, or if it's the Falcons at the Vikings, or if it's the Sunday night game, which is a spectacular game of the Steelers and the Patriots, is it going to be as sloppy as we saw Thursday night? Because teams no longer play their guys in the preseason.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, if memory serves, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, last year through the first 2-3 weeks of the season, it really looked like it was going to be a year of the defense, and then things corrected. So absolutely, I think at this point, the defenses in general are well ahead of the offenses.
You look at the game today, Tampa is favored by 1 point with an over-under of 51 points. Tampa being favored by one, that's actually a good thing for the 49ers, right?
Sure.
Home field is a three-point advantage to begin with.
So that means neutral field, the 49ers would be favored, but they're not playing on a neutral field.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
You can't read. So like if the game was in London, though.
Okay.
It's not,
that's right.
But if it was.
That's right. Cheerio, Rice Krispie. I think today the 49ers, you want a bold prediction, the 49ers will match, perhaps even surpass, they certainly will match last year's interception total for the whole season.
You're confident of saying
they
will get to two?
Yes.
You're confident. All right. Maybe today is that what you're saying?
I'm saying today against Jameis.
Today against Jameis?
Jameis has a bad habit of throwing the ball to the wrong team.
But Whitey, he has got Bruce Arians, who's the quarterback whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who has made Andrew Luck, when he was great, he made him great. He made Carson Palmer better. He made Ben Roethlisberger great. Who am I missing? There's one more quarterback. I don't remember him.
Okay.
I'm not sure. How did his career go?
Andrew Luck was 1 year, and Andrew Luck was great before Arians and also after. So can we throw that one out? Throw out the high. Also, we'll throw out the low. Tim Couch. We'll throw that one out.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. So that leaves you with Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer. And here's the thing. None of those guys blossomed under Arians in year one. For Peyton, it was year two. He went from meh to master in year two. With Palmer, and this was late model Palmer, it was year three. With Roethlisberger, it was also year three under Arians where he really blossomed. So is Arians going to turn Jameis around? Maybe. Is it going to happen right away? Is it going to happen this year? It could, but history would suggest it is not going to happen.
All righty. So a lot of stuff going on today. We want to hear from you. On the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Again, 95795. Lock it into your phone and start hitting us up. Whitey Gleason, Jim Cozumel with you all the way until 11 o'clock this morning when we have the kickoff show with Bonte and Butcher Boy. And just get ready for an explosion in your radio. I'm just telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Just get ready. Butcher Boy's already here, and I think he's eaten half a dozen of those donuts because that guy is amped.
Bananas and donuts. Is that a thing? An opening day thing? Hey, bananas and donuts. I love it. I just didn't realize the significance.
I'm trying to think. What kind of donuts are they? Actually, I know what kind he brought, and I don't like to eat donuts, but I might.
There you go. It's opening day, baby.
I'm gonna tell everyone. He brings in the Krispy Kremes, and on football Sunday opening day, I think they make the little football Krispy Kremes, you know, with the chocolate on top,
the lacings,
and the lacings.
Yeah,
and then inside the cream, and that's my favorite. That's my favorite Krispy Kreme.
Oh yeah.
So I might have to dive into that.
You know, I used to sell pretzels on the street corners, and 1 year after the 49ers won the Super Bowl, we had these special football shaped pretzel logs, and we had put cheese laces on them.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
That's quite a life you live. Pretzel boy.
They didn't really catch on.
Pretzel boy. Well, they're big in Philly. You can go to the street corner and get them in Philly still.
Not the log-shaped football ones.
Were they was it handmade? Were they a little oblong?
Yeah, they were. A little misshapen. That's supposed to be a football. That's cute.
All right. Well, we got to step aside, and then we're going to continue. You can always get us on the phones. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. I have some over-unders I want you to think about when we continue, Whitey. It's about 49ers wide receivers, and I've got over-unders on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Over. I'm going
Alrighty.
Over.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you don't even know what those numbers are yet. So we're going to get into some Niners and Buccaneers, and we can delve back into the Antonio Brown. Now that he's out of the Bay Area, I'm almost sick of talking about him. But I do want to know if this was an inside job. It's all coming up. Whitey Gleason, Jim Cozumel, and you on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Interesting on the Chilton Autobody text line. If it was AB's plan all along to leave the Raiders, what was that tearful apology? I think that was a bunch of hooey, and I think we've heard afterwards people said that we didn't even think that was a real apology.
Some would suggest that once the guarantees were pulled back, that's when he decided he wanted out. So if that's true, then the tearful apology maybe wasn't exactly as heartfelt as he wanted us to believe, but it could have been somewhat sincere. It could have been okay, look, we're good. Some think that once the Raiders threatened to remove the guarantees, pull them back, that's when he decided, all right, I'm out of here.
All right, so do you believe on the Antonio Brown as we continue here on 95.7 The Game? Whitey Gleason, Jim Cozumel with you. Football Sunday, week one of the National Football League. We're going to get into the 49ers and the Buccaneers and all the excitement with that. But to clean up the Antonio Brown, I thought this was kind of a Usual Suspects Ocean's 11 and the good one with the Sinatra and his crew, not the crap that they're throwing out there now. But this was a real Ocean's 11. They had a team. Come on, his social media team, his production team was better than what some local television stations are doing nowadays.
Yeah. Pro Football Talk reports that Antonio Brown got some advice from social media advisors and influencers on how to make sure he ensured separation from the team with what he posted and how he posted it and when he posted it.
The thing that stands out for me on that is that advisors were advising him on things. You said the advisors were giving him advice on
that? Yeah, that's what they do, huh?
You know what?
Yeah.
There's truth in advertising.
Yeah.
That's all I'm telling you, Whitey. There's truth in advertising. He becomes a Patriot. He's not playing tonight, right? There's no way he plays tonight.
No, he's not playing tonight.
Just so you know, I've got two quarterbacks. I've got Philip Rivers, and I've got Tom Brady. I think I'm going to start playing Tom Brady next week, every week I can.
You going Philip Rivers against the Colts?
I'm going Philip Rivers against the Colts today.
Go Chargers, go!
There you go. That's what I like to hear. I am kind of a Charger guy. I like the Chargers. I like that they're probably my second favorite team in the AFC.
Why is that? What is it about the Chargers that appeals to your
When I was a young kid, growing up, there was always the West Coast game, and it was always, you know, the four teams that it was. It was either the Raiders, it was the Chargers, it was the Chiefs, and it was the Broncos. And I dug the uniforms of the Chargers. I love the lightning bolt.
Okay.
I was a big John Hadle, number 21, as a quarterback guy. And then next after that, I was a big number 80, the tight end number 80 guy. And I just remember the game they played against the Miami Dolphins. Remember the how many overtimes did they play that game?
17.
I believe you're right. 17 overtimes. Because I was watching the game. We left, went to the city, had dinner, drove home, and the game was still on. And I just fell in love with it. They walked off the was it Kellen Winslow?
Yeah.
Was that the
Kellen
guy?
Kellen Winslow with the heat exhaustion,
yes,
and the cramps.
And they're carrying him off the field, but, you know, as the game ends. And
right.
I just fell in love with them. I like their uniforms. So I like them, and I like the Raiders because they were the other team that was always on. And they were always doing something wacky with the Raiders.
It's really interesting sometimes to find out why people root for this team or that team. Usually it's, well, I'm from there, and my parents root for that team. I root for that team. I know a guy who's a huge Steeler fan, just massive Steeler fan. And I asked him one day, how'd you become a Steeler fan? Assuming it was, well, they're always on TV. He said, my brother loved the Cowboys, and the Cowboys played the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and I hated the Cowboys because that's my brother's favorite team, so I rooted for the Steelers because they beat the Cowboys.
You know what?
My brother hated the Steelers, so I loved them.
There you go. There's a lot of therapy in that answer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of therapy in that answer. All right, so Buccaneers get rolling, and to finish off on Antonio Brown, the NFL better investigate, because that's a load of crap. And if Mike Mayock hasn't already called the league office to say, hey, this was an inside job, this is a load of crap, then I think that the Raiders are off on that. Let's get into the 49ers and the Buccaneers today. All right. What area of the 49ers needs to show improvement right from the start, starting today? Is it on the offensive side, is it the wide receiver group? Is it the running back core? Because everyone thought Jerick McKinnon was going to be the guy, and he's not going to be there all season long. Is it the play of the quarterback? On the defensive side, is it the secondary? Is it the new-look pass rush that they put together? What area do you think needs to start to shine as we get the season started today?
It's got to start on the defensive side of the ball, as I call it, and it's especially got to start up front, and it should. This is a great potential matchup for the 49ers. New look defensive front. Tampa Bay's offensive line was absolutely brutal in the preseason. Be that as it may, is a great opportunity for the 49ers now that we're playing for real. Great opportunity for Bosa and D Ford to show why the 49ers are so excited to have them here. And I think the defensive line is going to show very well today.
Mentioning Nick Bosa, we have to remind everyone, John Dickinson will join us at 9:30. As he is in Tampa Bay getting ready for the 49ers and the Buccaneers, we'll find out about the availability of Nick Bosa and what's going to go on. And we'll ask you at 888-957-9570, what area do you think needs to shine early? What's the one area the 49ers address that you think needs to be the thing that gets rolling for this team? I know the sexy and easy answer is Jimmy Garoppolo needs to play well. We all understand that, but there are some other position groups that need to get things done. You think defensive line, I think that's a very fair one. And the defensive line playing well could very well improve the secondary.
Absolutely.
Right?
Which needs to play a lot better also, sure.
And you've already made the statement regarding last year to this year on turnovers. What do you think could very well happen today?
Oh, they will match last year's interception total, the 49er defense.
Today.
They'll get at least two today after getting two all of last year.
If you do that, your defensive front has done their job because they've scared enough people, and by that I mean Jameis Winston, into making some bad throws and putting the secondary in a good position. For me, the area that I want to see shine, and it's going to be hard, is going to be the wide receiver group. All right, it's going to be the wide receiver group, and I do not count George Kittle in that. Kittle, I think, is all among, he's to himself, he's one of the top two or three tight ends in the game.
You're talking Debo and Dante.
I'm talking Debo, I'm talking Dante, I'm talking Bourne, I'm talking anyone they throw out there, and we know Jalen Hurd's not going to play. By the way, all the buildup to Jalen Hurd, and now we've got some back issues, This is a young kid, early 20s, already with some back tightness and stuff.
Sure, early in the season.
Yeah, but it's a little scary. For a guy they were talking up so much as kind of a gadget, we can do this with him, we can do things with him that you can't do with
X-factor.
A lot of... Exactly. And now that X-factor isn't going to be there. So I'm bummed about that because I want to see the kid and I want to see how that offensive mind of Kyle Shanahan can work. But for me, it's the 49ers wide receiver group. Someone's got to step up. I'm going to give you some over-unders on them in just a second. But right now, I want to get some phone calls. 888-957-9570. Or you can hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Let's get it rolling in San Bruno with Rob. Rob, welcome into 95.7 The Game. You're watching the game today. What area do the 49ers need to improve on?
Last year, in the last 2 years, we didn't have games where we could have won it at the end at the goal line with the defense not getting interceptions. So I feel like if the offense, when they get into the red zone, you have to score. I don't want Robbie Gould setting records for field goals this year. If we get into the red zone, we have to score. If we can do that, we'll win this game. But if we only kicking field goals and Tampa going back downfield scoring touchdowns, we're going to lose. So we need to score touchdowns. If we score touchdowns, we win by 10. If we don't score touchdowns, we're losing by close like we've been doing the last few years. So if Cal is who you say he is, he needs to lead this team. When the games is close, we need to win them at least half of those close games. We've been losing them. We need to win them. So we score touchdowns, we're going to win, period.
I got you. You know what, Rob? That makes an awful lot of sense. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. And Rob's line open at 888-957-9570. They were pathetic in the red zone.
Yeah, and to his point, last year the 49ers lost four games in which they led in the fourth quarter. Obviously, extenuating circumstances due to Garoppolo's injury, but Rob makes a great point there.
Well, I will tell you that we're going to find out nice and early how this team changes in the red zone and whether or not it matters and how they utilize George Kittle. Listen, George Kittle, you might say last year, you know what, burst down to the scene. Nobody really knew about it. The 49ers were never really a threat, and so teams didn't take him seriously, so Kittle had a great year. He ain't going to sneak up on anyone this year. Teams are going to game plan defensively for George Kittle, and Kyle Shanahan's going to have to find out a way to get him open multiple times a game. I think that'll be one area that I look for because I do love Kittle, who's on my fantasy team.
Ah.
Yeah, that's another thing. You might notice these shows that we do. I'm just going to angle them towards my fantasy team the whole time.
Good.
You know?
People love that.
Nothing more exciting than fantasy talk on radio. But I just need help with my team. But Kittle, to me, is going to be a key. But part of that key is, Whitey, the wide receiver core. So are you ready for this? I'm going to give you... first of all... You know, maybe we should wait until we get John on here in a couple of minutes because he's coming on at 9:30. But you take a look at the wide receiver core, the five guys that they're going to suit up today. Do you think there is one guy over under? Are you ready? One wide receiver who will go over 5.5 catches, over 75 yards, over a half touchdown today. If there's one guy in the receiving core, do you think you can find one guy who can go over 5.5 catches today, over 75 yards, over a half a touchdown?
I like Pettis. I like Pettis on the catches, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember last year, second half of the season, he played very well. But, you know, everything with Kyle Shanahan's offense is set up by the running game. Not to muddy your question, but it depends also on how well they're able to establish the run and run play action and free guys up.
You know, I look at the wide receiver core of Pettis, Bourne, Samuel, Goodwin, and I guess is Richie James Jr. the other option? That's a good... I'll tell you something. That is... I have a hard time saying that I feel... I'd probably agree with you. Kendrick Bourne might be next, but I might agree with you. You know, I asked JD the question yesterday. He thought Deebo Samuel could be the X factor in this game because of his speed and he can do some different things. I would love it. I would love one of these young wide receivers to end up being the guy. Because when you look at the wide receiver core, if you want Jimmy Garoppolo to have a nice step up in his game... He needs to have weapons, and they spent a lot of draft capital on young wide receivers.
And they're unknown right now. We have to wait and see. Yeah, Deebo Samuel has a chance to have a huge impact this year. Will it happen in week one? We'll have to wait and see. I don't think the 49ers even know that yet.
All right, let me give you some Jimmy Garoppolo over-unders. And you think about this as we're trying to hook up with John Dickinson from down in Tampa Bay. Jimmy Garoppolo, week one, over-under, 35 attempts, 25 completions, 300 yards, 1.5 touchdowns. How likely is it he throws more than 35 passes?
They're going to win today, and they're going to win because they're going to get to Jameis, and they're going to run the ball well, and he's not going to have to throw the ball that many times.
All right. That's fair. So under 35 throws.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to throw for 300 yards.
He's not going to throw for 300?
No.
All right. So
he won't have
to,
hopefully.
All right. That's interesting because the game, take Thursday night out of it. That was just a crap factory. I don't think you could determine anything about this year's NFL. If I use last year's NFL, first half of the year, well, Tampa Bay played an opening week game last year in their division. What happened last week? Week one.
That was the week one stunner of last season, 48-40 Tampa Bay and Fitzmagic over the Saints.
Whoa. Fitzmagic ain't walking through that door.
No, he's not.
Okay, I'm just letting you know that. And it's up to Jameis Winston. Is the NFL, now the first half of the NFL last year, all the way up until that Chiefs-Rams game, which was like 50-40 in that general range, up until that game, it was an Arena Football League situation. And everyone's like, there were some people who loved it. Ratings were up. There were football purists who were like, hey, we got to get defense back into the game. From that point on, games started to become more NFL-y.
Sure.
You know, lower scoring until we got to the eventual embarrassment of a Super Bowl. Was it 9-6, 9-3? What was the score in the Super Bowl? I think the A's outscored the Patriots. The A's from last night outscored the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
That's right. Look at the last two games we've had, the Super Bowl and then Thursday night.
Yeah, I've given up on the NFL just based on those two games. I'll never watch another game. Let's go down to Tampa Bay. That's where our good friend J.D. John Dickinson, Super Reporter, is. He does everything here. He's our five-tool guy, and he's in Tampa. He's going to be in Tampa today, tomorrow night, at the Collie for the Raiders opener. That's how busy this guy is. And J.D., I can't help but ask you to start for week one. We've heard so much about heat, humidity, heat index. What is it like in Tampa today, week one of the NFL?
Not going to lie, guys, it's a little soupy. It's a little soupy here. Pushing 90 degrees, the humidity level, I think in the 70% range. And I was walking around just trying to find the media entrance here, and I worked up a little bit of a sweat.
Got a little
bit of
lather going?
Sweat.
A little lather going on here?
Got a little lather going on my Robert Sala-like dome. A little shine going.
John Dickinson.
On the dome. Yeah. So,
J.D. in Tampa.
No, it's thick. It's hot.
J.D., what's the single most important matchup for the 49ers today, in your professional opinion?
Boy, I think it's going to be I don't know that there is a specific matchup, to be real honest. I think it's, can the 49ers defensive line wreak havoc on the Buccaneers offensive line, which has just been shoddy in the preseason, and get to Jameis Winston and make him uncomfortable? Because, you know, that's the one position group on the field, guys, where I think everybody can agree the 49ers have a ton of talent, and it sounds like Nick Bosa is going to play, and Dee Ford's going to play, and they've got all the depth and all the guys on the interior. Can those guys up front put an imprint on the game and force Jameis Winston to put the ball up for grabs, do things he's not comfortable with, and maybe force some turnovers, for crying out loud, which we know has been a problem for this 49ers team the last couple of years, but last year in particular?
49ers Buccaneers in Tampa today. John Dickinson reporting live from a disco in downtown Tampa.
Yeah.
He is out there just shaking.
He's out there with baby oil.
Yeah, I know. Him and baby oil are working it right now. Way to go, my man. Hey, you mentioned that it looks like Bosa's going to go. Have the 49ers addressed just how much they expect him to go? Is he a three-down guy? Is he going to be a specialist just going after the quarterback on third down? Because Bosa has not played an active snap of football since, what, week three of the college season last year?
Yeah, I think he's going to be, I think it's going to be right around 25-30 snaps. I don't think he's going to be out there all the time. I think the 49ers in the heat are going to be rotating through players, and I think he is going to be used initially as more of a specialist, just to see, you know, how he holds up. Get him out there in situations where he could just pin his ears back and come after the quarterback and not have to worry about too much else. I think that's probably how you're going to see it. But I also think they're going to try to spread reps around team-wide, especially with the defensive line given the elements here. And boy, it is sticky. I'm not going to lie. I just standing out in it right now and looking down at the field. The guys are starting to show up a little bit and get a run in. It's going to be thick, and it's going to be the hottest part of the day. And it doesn't look like there's any cloud cover coming. It's going to be sunny and soupy, but I think Nick Bosa, I would say maybe 25 to 30 snaps.
You're listening to Sunny and Soupy on 95.7 The Game, along with John.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
In Tampa Bay. JD, any idea how prominent Deebo Samuel is going to be in the game plan today?
He's the biggest offensive player, aside from Jimmy Garoppolo, that I'm excited to see. And the reason I'm excited to see him is because I think, and I was talking to Coase about this yesterday, I think if the 49ers wind up being a decent team, if the 49ers wind up being good, if they have kind of a wow performance today where we all go, okay, this team might have something, I think Deebo Samuel is going to be maybe the one player on the offensive side that has almost a breakout type of a game at some point early in the season. And maybe today is the day, because nobody's really stepped up among that wide receiver core. Now, Marquise Goodwin didn't play a ton, and you know, there was some speculation that maybe he could be on the outs. Kyle Shanahan was all over Dante Pettis. Jimmy Garoppolo loves throwing to Trent Taylor, but he's not going to be able to throw it to Trent Taylor for a couple of weeks as he's out with that fracture. And Jalen Hurd, somebody that isn't going to be active today as well, and it looked like Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be very comfortable throwing the ball to him as far as the training camp practices went. But Debo's kind of the wild card. He's a wild card, and I kind of wonder if maybe Kyle Shanahan has hid him a little bit in terms of the overall reps and how he's used him in the preseason and even where they've placed him on the depth chart. I think he could be somebody that is primed for some kind of a breakout performance, if not today, in these first 3-4 weeks of the season.
All right, J.D., John Dickinson down in Tampa Bay getting ready for the Buccaneers and the 49ers. J.D., you cut out a couple of times in that interview or during that last answer. I know you're going to be on the kickoff show with Bonte and Butcher Boy, and you're going to have the inactives, but is there a group of five receivers that you think that the Niners are going to run out there today? I know that you're going to get the official stuff later, but who are the five guys they'll suit up today?
Yeah, they have seven on the roster. There'll be no Trent Taylor and no Jalen Hurd. So it'll be Goodwin and Pettis. It'll be Deebo Samuel as well.
Bourne.
And then you'll have Kendrick Bourne and Richie James Jr.
Okay.
Those will be the five.
All right, so with that being said, if you look at, and you've got the tight end George Kittle, you got Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm going to give you some over-unders on Garoppolo. Will he go over or under 35 attempts, over or under 25 completions, over or under 300 yards in the air, over or under 1.5 touchdowns?
I'm going to say over 1.5 touchdowns.
Wow.
Under 300 yards.
Interesting.
Under 35 attempts. I think we're looking at 20 to, we're looking at in the 20s somewhere.
Okay. All right.
I think overall in terms of attempts, the Niners are really going to try and run the football, I think, and you know, manage the clock and you know, try and have some long drives that can wear Tampa. Look, Tampa's defense is suspect, so I think they believe they can wear them down and kind of take control of the game and then create enough pressure to where, you know, they can maybe force Jameis Winston into some mistakes, as I alluded to. What was the other one? Did I miss one of those?
Let's see. You got attempts, completions. Well, if you're under 20, if you're under 35 completions, you're not going to get to most likely 25. Under 35 attempts, you're not going to get to 25 completions. So I had it 25 for 35, 300 yards for 1.5 touchdowns. But you're saying in the 20, somewhere in the 20s throwing the ball. My assumption is then if you get up to 35, it means you're chasing the game and you've fallen behind Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. I think we're looking at somewhere in the 17 for 25 kind of a range, 18 for 25.
Can you say,
I had to, you know, try and put a name on it.
Can you say game manager Alex Smith rejoins the 49ers? Go ahead, Whitey.
Yeah, JD, I agree with you. But that said, if the 49ers are going to have success running the ball today, how will time in the backfield be split or shared between Coleman and Breida?
I think it's going to be a pretty even split. I think you're going to see, look up at the end of the day, and they're going to be, you know, maybe 10, 12 carries each. And a big question for me, I think Tevin Coleman, and I know Matt Breida is kind of the sexy pick to be the breakout running back. I think Tevin Coleman with his familiarity with Kyle Shanahan, I think he's primed to have a big year and actually be the guy that winds up with the most touches overall and the most yards racked up. But I do think it's going to be relatively even, and then if one guy gets going, maybe he takes the lion's share of the carries as the game goes on. But I do think it's going to be week to week. It's going to be matchup based. I mean, that really is one of the more fascinating aspects of this 49ers team offensively. It's all of the different chess pieces. Maybe not great players at a lot of the skill positions. Certainly they believe Jimmy Garoppolo can be great. But it's more, how does Kyle Shanahan mix and match? How does Shanahan get Breida out there at the right time? Get Coleman out there at the right time? Pick and choose between the 2-3 wide receivers that need to be out there in any given moment. And then, oh, by the way, figure out a way to come up with big-time production for George Kittle as well.
All right, because they're both on my fantasy team, Breida and Coleman, who's going to have the bigger day? Who's playing more? I've got three 49ers on my fantasy team for some reason. I don't know how that happened.
I think Breida is probably more likely to break off a big run, but I think I think as far as carries, it's going to be. I think they're both going to be relatively even. I think they're both in the 10-12 range in terms of overall carries.
Don't you think?
Who's got the?
I was going to say, sorry, JD. I was going to say, don't you think Coleman's going to have a lot of catches this year? He may have 70 something catches this year.
Yeah, they're going to definitely throw it to him. And I know that's an aspect of Breida's game that he's improved upon, and that may get him out on the field a little bit more. But, yeah, I think Coleman, it's not going to be fully the way that they were going to use Jerick McKinnon, putting him in the slot and putting him outside and using him in that way more as a true wide receiver. But, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of dump-offs, a lot of creativity for Coleman. And he's going to have a lot of the big key for Coleman is, can he hang on to the football? He's had some fumbling issues throughout his career, and as long as he can hang on to the football, I think he's going to be out there a lot, and he's going to be maybe a pleasant surprise for this 49ers offense.
I'm already intimidated on my call. Like, I have Derrick Henry. Do I play Derrick Henry against Cleveland?
They're going to throw the ball a lot more this year, you know, the Titans. Never mind.
No, they're not. Mariota can't throw the ball 10 yards. That's why I took Derrick Henry.
Oh, boy.
All right, JD. Oh, hey, before we let you go, this is not a 49ers story. This is an NFL story. You're there in Tampa getting ready for Buccaneers and 49ers. Is anyone or what are people saying about the Antonio Brown conundrum with now he's a Patriot? Now, it was really an ugly look, I think, for the National Football League. But are people talking about it down there in Tampa?
Yeah, the wide-ranging conversation is he orchestrated the whole thing and wanted out. And he figured out a way at some point in cahoots with the Patriots and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, to make it happen. I think it is a bad look. I don't know about the Patriots' involvement as far as timing. I think the Patriots may have been the first team to call once it got to a point where it looked like the Raiders were going to have no recourse other than to release him. But as far as the Antonio Brown portion of it, I mean, it looks like he absolutely orchestrated trying to get cut and trying to make himself free to sign with whatever team he wanted, and he winds up believing that he's the big winner in this thing, because the one thing that, you know, we talked yesterday, Coz, I was stunned that he actually got paid. Like, he got paid a normal salary, which I didn't think would happen, but he got everything he wanted. He got out of Oakland, he got the guaranteed money back, and now he gets an opportunity to even contend for a championship, which is something that wasn't going to happen in all likelihood with the Raiders.
All right, JD, great job down there in Tampa. I know you're on with the guys next, the kickoff show with Bonte and Butcher Boy. Try to stay cool while you're there. I hope you brought a couple of changes of shirt, because it's going to be hot and sticky and yucky. But JD, down at Tampa Bay, thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys.
All right, we got to step aside. We'll continue, talk more NFL, look at some of the other games out there. They're going to kick off in 16 minutes from now, so yes. I'm late for the break. I'm going to get fined for that on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Nothing says NFL Sunday Week 1 like some kind of almost Irish-sounding music.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you're a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, which next Saturday I will be at Notre Dame Stadium. If you'd like, I can report live back. Just letting you know.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Week one NFL, we get it rolling here, 95.7 The Game. Full day of NFL coverage coming for you. It begins right now with Whitey Gleason and me, Jim Cozumore, and you on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Also, the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Whitey, we mentioned Antonio Brown, and we got this from the 415. John Gruden was emasculated and played the ultimate chump. Goodbye, respect. Hello, doormat. I can't help but think the Raiders got played in this. I can't help but think the Raiders.
They've got taken. They were taken by the Steelers now twice in 2 years. They end up getting taken ultimately by Antonio Brown and by the Patriots. But what does this whole debacle say about a lack of leadership, not only in the Raider front office, but also in the locker room? Where was Derek Carr in all this? If this had unfolded on another team, don't you know, let's say the Saints, as unlikely as that would happen, the Saints wouldn't put themselves in that position. Don't you think Drew Brees at some point would have had something to say about it?
I do. I also think that the Raiders are not a team that is looked at like the Saints are looked at in their market. And Derek Carr is not looked at in the same way that Drew Brees is.
He's still evolving as a leader. Is that a nice way to say it?
If this was going on in Minnesota, would we have heard from Kirk Cousins? We would have heard from Matthew Stafford if this was happening with the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we'd have been heard. I don't know if Mitchell Trubisky would have been asked about it in Chicago. And that town covers its team.
Right.
So it depends.
He's got his own problems right now.
Yeah. His problem is he's not an NFL quarterback. That's his problem. Other than that, great guy, handsome, big, strong athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't play quarterback.
Looks the part.
Does look the part. He checks all those boxes. But once you get past handing it off, which actually wasn't that easy of a skill on Thursday night when he was pitching the ball 1 yard behind him instead of handing it off on the first play from scrimmage. When you go with the vaunted T formation as a tip of the cap to Papa Bear.
Wonderful.
Little tear.
Yeah.
Little
I
tear
can buy into your conspiracy theory that this was a setup all along, but I don't like the notion that in a way that excuses the Raiders and suggests, well, there's nothing the Raiders could do, because I think the Raiders made a cataclysmic mistake when they brought in Antonio Brown. You know, when Bill Walsh started to assemble his organization in San Francisco, he's the first one of the first, if not the first, to borrow the term culture from the business world and say, look, we got to establish a culture here.
Who said that?
Bill Walsh.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I thought it was Pat Riley.
He took it from a book by a guy by the name of Tom Peters about establishing your culture in your business, and Bill Walsh applied that to football. Anyway, the idea is you figure out what your organization stands for. You bring in people who exemplify that.
He had a guy named Charles Haley in his locker room. And Bill Romanowski.
Yeah.
What kind of culture are you trying to tell me that Bill Walsh had?
Okay, same thing applies with the Patriots. Would you say that they have a winning culture?
Yeah,
because
they're winning games.
Yeah, so
here's the culture. You have the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. The Niners had it the first time.
Right.
Now the Patriots have it.
Point is, the Patriots can absorb Antonio Brown. He's got to assimilate himself to the culture or he's gone, because the culture's established.
Okay.
That wasn't the case in Oakland.
Okay.
And John Gruden tried to bend the rules about what it's like, what our culture's like. He tried to bend it because he wanted to accommodate this great talent. And it doesn't work that way. And that's why it ends up getting burned.
I'm going to use your argument against you. They said, we got a culture. We're trying to do a winning culture here. This is our vision for it. You got to play by these rules. He wasn't playing by the rules. Eventually, they cut the cord.
Eventually.
Right.
But
well,
he bent over backwards.
They said, hey, listen, this is the culture. You're going to play by it? Yes. Do you want to be a Raider? I've always wanted to be a Raider since week one, or since I got here. That's what he said. But he continued to buck the system.
Right.
I said buck.
You're right.
The system.
You did. The problem is the way Gruden bent over backwards to try to accommodate him. He's so misunderstood, instead of standing firm. Well, no, that's not
so
the
you
way
want an iron
here.
Fist week one.
Well, I'm just saying the Raiders have done damage. Now, whatever this culture is supposed to be, it's actually been set back because of this ridiculous dalliance with Antonio Brown, whom they should not have acquired in the first place. That's why the 49ers didn't bring him in.
All right.
Did you hear that the 49ers, apparently they were looking into Antonio Brown, and they heard that Antonio Brown went to a coach on the Steelers staff and said, I'm not going to block today. And once the 49ers heard about that, they said, okay, that's great. We don't want him.
That is an interesting tact for him to take. I'm not going to block today.
Yeah.
That is a different approach from a lot of guys.
Just you know, Coach, I'm not doing any blocking.
I like that.
Fine.
I need to cleanse my palate with a phone call. 888-957-9570. Let's get to Brett and Benicia. which is one of my favorite cities. I drive through Benicia.
Right by Vallejo.
Yep, it is. It's underappreciated. There's an Italian restaurant in Benicia. I understand that it might be the best Italian restaurant in the area, in the region. And there's some great Italian down here. Just letting you know that. Brett, what's the great Italian restaurant in Benicia?
Oh, it's at the Tannery at the bottom of First Street. You would put me on the spot.
That's okay. We'll look it up. Our staff will look it up. It's near the Tannery on First Street in Benicia. Look that up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm told it's the best. And is there also a restaurant that does magic shows in Benicia, or is that Martinez?
I'm not familiar with that.
Know your Far East Bay. Maybe they can help me on the Chilton Autobody text line. There's a magic. It's like a restaurant, or it's like a dinner show with magic.
Wow.
I know.
It is a very Benician thing.
Bella Siena, Brett. Bella Siena is the name of the restaurant.
Bella Siena, there you go.
There you go. I'm told best Italian, Northern California, Bay.
It's a great food, and it's got the traditional Italian courses, so you don't go in and out in 45 minutes. You sit down for 5 separate courses.
Oh, my. Really?
And they're good.
Oh, yeah. Give me some cannelloni. Let me tell you something. This ain't Chef Boyardee they're giving you out there, baby. All right, what do you got for me, Brett and Benicia?
Hey, I just wanted to thank 95.7 The Game for bringing back the famous Whitey Gleason. I used to listen to him on the radio up in Sacramento back in the 90s.
Wow.
And one of the most clever, funniest comedy. I mean, it's the great radio in the morning that I listen to, and hopefully we get more of it than just Sunday. Is there a Monday through Friday plan involved?
I know. Whitey, is there a Monday through Friday plan involved?
I don't know, Brett.
Till 11.
I am going to be at the Rusty Duck in Benicia. I'll be doing my podcast.
That was very nice.
Very nice of you to say. I am just thrilled to be here at all, and Sundays with Coz have been wonderful.
And by the way, I'm with Brett. I'm too hoping some of the best funny comedy happens too. I've been waiting for that, Whitey, for 3 shows now, and so I'm. Don't be afraid to pull that out at some point.
I've been saving it. Yeah.
All right. I'm told that Venticello's is better than Bella Siena.
So we got also Benicia.
We've got a warring Italian restaurant theme here in Benicia on our show, and I'm told that the magic show meal thing is in Martinez.
Oh, okay.
Does someone know the name of that place? Because I've been hoping
that's
to
an
take
egregious
my family.
Error on your part.
It is. You know, the Benicia Martinez border skirmish has been going
they
on
don't
for
care
decades.
For each other.
No, and don't mix those two up because it could get ugly. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco. It's a radio.com sports station. I am Jim Cozumore along with Whitey Gleason together for another hour here on 95.7
opening
The Game.
Day.
I know. We are getting ready for what you call the best opening day in sport.
There's no question.
Wow. Little thing called baseball is on line one.
Which one? The one in Japan 2 weeks before the regular season, the one in Cincinnati that they don't have anymore, the Sunday night game on ESPN, or the Monday day game, or the Tuesday night game?
I still fly to Cincinnati for the parade that they have that leads to the ballpark for the official first game of the season.
I was okay with that. If you're going to embrace, nostalgia, sure, then make that that used to be the traditional opening day every year, the game in Cincinnati, because that's the birthplace of baseball. They don't do that anymore. They've turned their back on that.
The old Red Legs.
Yeah.
The old Red Legs. Shouldn't the Red Legs just play the first game even if they change the first game, the day of the first game? First of all, let's get something else in line.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.